The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You're listening to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. We have escaped the confines of our studio and I'm delighted to say I am here looking out over the Grand Canal Basin. We are in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre and here with me is Craig Revel-Horwood. Craig, how are you?
I am fantastic and it's so wonderful to be back at this theatre. I was here with Annie and we had 2 weeks here and it was magnificent in the summer and I absolutely adored it. And it's a fantastic space. The dressing rooms are second to none in the world. They are absolutely fantastic. And facilities, I love every minute of it. So I cannot wait to come back at the end of May to do Wizard of Oz, of course.
What makes a good dressing room?
Luxury, darling. Carpets, settees. Bars.
Oh, yeah.
Fringes, freezers, you know.
So what's in the Craig Revel Hall rider then for a Revel Horwood rider for a dressing room?
Well, it's a little bit boring, actually. A packet of crisps, some water and some peanuts. I know that's it.
A specific brand of crisp?
Yeah, I like the McCoy's, the ridgy ones.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I like those. And peanuts, they have to be dry roasted.
So listen, tell us about the Wizard of Oz. So You are playing the Wicked Witch of the West.
I am indeed.
How are preparations going?
Well, I'm yet to discover the greenness. So I've got to learn that sort of on Wednesday next week, which will be fine. I'm very good with makeup. I mean, I've done drag all my life. Anyway, this is just changing the base colour to green. So I think, you know, the false eyelashes I'm used to, the heels I'm used to, all of that stuff. I'm looking forward to playing her because she's such an extraordinary character. And you can have a lot of fun with the villains, you know, and that's why I always say yes to any villain I ever get offered. Because,
oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, like Hannigan, when I did Hannigan here, she's treacherous. And that was fun because she was drunk or hungover in every scene. Whereas the Wicked Witch of the West is sort of slightly psychotic. And in that, I mean, power hungry, desperate for more power. She wants not just world dominance, but universal dominance. You know, she wants to be the most powerful being. You know, I can't really call her a person because she's a figment of Dorothy's imagination.
Yeah.
But she certainly is a scary creature, you know, of the night. And it's great. So for me, it's so much fun to play those sort of fantastical characters.
How much can you infuse those characters with your own personality?
A lot. I mean, every actor will bring a part of themselves to it. And it's how much history you give the character, I think. And how you want to portray that, you know, as well. I mean, every actor has choices and you have to make really big ones when you've got huge, you know, characters like the Wicked Witch of the West. And, you know, I make bold choices. I make bold choices in life and I also make bold choices when I'm acting. And I think that's why I have fun with it. I would hate to be pushed into a corner and say, oh no, do it exactly like the movie.
You know,
and that's not me at all.
Do you enjoy the itinerant aspect of kind of touring and, you know, being in different cities?
Yeah, I do. Only because I spent a long time in the West End and living in one place, going to the same show year after year after year, to the point where I couldn't catch the 29 bus anymore when I finished in the West End. It's one of those.
Yeah.
So touring for me is a little bit of an escape as well, because you're getting away from the burdens of everyday life at home. You know, seeing the bills come through the door, the same bed, the same kitchen. I'm not a 9-to-5-er. I mean, I like going to different hotels. I like experiencing different cultures. I like seeing different cities. But, you know, there's a time and a place for it in your life. You know, I wouldn't want to do this for 10 years at a time. I think, you know, I would miss home too much. And for me, it's great because I get to come to places like Dublin. I get to go to Australia with Strictly Come Dancing as well, doing Dancing with the Stars. I'm very lucky that, you know, I get a complete sort of a cross section of work, you know, which takes me to different places. And I love that. I absolutely love it.
Is it harder to get out and about in those new cities and enjoy them since the success of Strictly? You know, that you walk out here and suddenly there's kind of demands for selfies.
Yeah, well, the selfie thing, whoever invented that telephone with a camera, you sort of, you know, want to get them back for that.
Yeah.
Because everything is filmed now. Mm. I mean, there's no escaping it. And it's been 20 years for me. So, I mean, it was a shock the first 2 years, but I sort of got used to it. And now I wave and smile.
Yeah.
And if people want selfies, so be it. You know, that's the price you've got to pay. But also, you know, the price of celebrity or fame, you know, is only really useful in a charity sort of situation, I find. You know, there's no real plus points to it.
You get a nice seat in a restaurant, I'm sure.
Well, you can get into a restaurant.
Yes.
Whereas some people can't. That is actually true. I have name bombed, you know, to try and get a booking. And it does actually work.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it does. You must find that as well.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah,
all
like
the time.
Yeah, and darling, you know, with all your good looks and your tallness and your white teeth.
But the experience in the first couple of years, say, of you know, kind of when the celebrity thing was new, I mean, how did you find all of that?
I found it really difficult. I was shy about it. I mean, it was overnight, literally. Truck drivers pulling up in Kentish Town, like near my house where I lived there, and just walking out of my house. And then suddenly, you know, they'd stop at the stoplight and they'd go, oh, look, is that bloke from Strictly Come Dancing?
Yeah.
It really, I don't know, it's sort of a bit crazy. But I got used to it and it was fine. And I mean, it just got worse and worse and worse. I'm, you know, because I've been on it for 20 years now. So for me, you know, it's just part and parcel of it. I'm so used to it.
Was there ever a time where you kind of, and maybe you didn't, but where you resented the fact that people thought you were successful because of Strictly? And not on Strictly because you were successful?
That is not their fault. You know, it's really not, it's not their fault to think that I only became famous on Strictly, because that's true. I became a household name on Strictly. People aren't that interested in going back to see what you did before.
Mm.
They really don't care. You know, it's only what you're about to do that they care about. So I was in the theatre, you know, all my life, and people are still shocked that I can sing and act. You know, they think,
oh, yeah. Well, oh, he does that too, well, no, on the side.
Some of them think, oh, we can't even dance. What are they talking about? You know, but I've done that all my life as well. Yeah, and they think, oh, wow, I didn't know you had a voice. Oh, I didn't know you could do this. Didn't know you could do that. And it's like, I've been doing this all my life, actually. Mm. I was in, you know, Cats. I was in Miss Saigon. I was in Crazy for You. I mean, like, the list is endless. I mean, I haven't tap danced. No one knows I do that. So that's something else I've got on my sleeve, probably my 60th birthday or something. I'm up. Bring that talent out. But I'm releasing an album this year of singing, you know, only because a lot of my bands wanted that, you know, from when I was singing on my one-man show. And of course, when they come to see Wizard of Oz, they'll hear the new song by Andrew Lloyd Webber, of course, and lyrics by Tim Rice. The Red Shoe Blues, which I sing in the show, and I can't wait for that, because it's a very camp number. Thankfully, you know, because that's right up my strata, of course. And it's just going to be an enormous amount of fun. I can't wait.
You're only going to do one more season, though, Strictly. Is that right?
Oh, no.
You're going to keep going?
Yeah. They're going to have to drag me out, kicking and screaming, darling. It's one of the best jobs I've ever had.
That was just contract negotiations was it?
No. It was me. It was an interview that just escalated ridiculously. And it was me saying, look, I want to hang my dance shoes up, you know, in the theatre and, you know, go back to what I was doing, which is directing and choreographing rather than starring in everything. You know, because it wasn't my ambition to play all these roles. That it's, just happened. You know, it was when an opportunity came up and I thought, well, that might be fun, you know, and then another opportunity came up. But I said, I can't keep doing that. You know, I really want to focus on directing and choreographing. And of course, I'm going to do Strictly. It's one day a week. I go in at midday on a Saturday, slag a few people off, darling, and go home. It's fabulous. You get paid a fortune. We love it. I mean, who wouldn't love it? You know, I've got a little Saturday job there and I can have Monday to Friday off, which I would love. Anyway, I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? So no, I would never leave Strictly. Strictly, I'm very, very proud of. Strictly is something that is not only just the UK, it's obviously here in Ireland as well. In fact, 31 countries worldwide and broken the Guinness Book of World Records for the most produced format in the world. So we did something right 20 years ago, you know, and why, you know, wreck something that isn't broken or try and change it? You know, people say, oh, you changed up, do this, do that. But, you know, it crosses all communities. And I think that's what's brilliant about it. And, you know, it really introduces the smaller communities to larger communities, you know, people that you may not have heard of or people that you might not socialize with, like the deaf, for instance. You know, Strictly is breaking a lot of those molds and it's bringing community together, just like Wizard of Oz does. Because it's, if you consider the Munchkins, you consider all the communities that have different ideas about themselves, different witches. There are good witches, there are bad witches, there are witches of East and West. And what do they all represent? You know, someone's mind who is living, Dorothy, living in a community of people that she's trying to understand and grow up with, you know. And that's what I love about this whole, you know, doing Wizard of Oz, because it's like, for me, I saw it as a kid and fell in love with it just for the sheer, you know, visuals, you know, when it went into color, Technicolor for the first time. And not only that, I mean, Judy Garland, you know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, amazing sort of magical numbers.
But it's kind of, it's like Strictly, it's kind of a cultural icon.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Of
really,
course
for different generations.
Yeah. And, you know, coming to see the show, I think will take you back to the movie. It represents the movie entirely. All the songs are in it from the movie. And of course, the ones that Andrew has written, like Red Shoe Blues for The Witch, you know, I think, which is great. So you were introducing new songs. I mean, yes, they've been around for, what, 10 years or something. But I don't think they're as well known, you know, and I think that's what's great about it. But it's a fantastic story. It's an incredible cast. And the singing, the dancing, the acting, the characters, the vibrancy of the costumes, it's all that, you know, and it's just something to escape to, I think. That's what people sort of want. And especially after the 2 years of sort of nothing.
Yes.
In that ghastly pandemic, where my life savings I saw going down the drain. I mean, I was lucky because I managed to keep myself afloat, you know, but a lot of people went down with it. You know, it's really sad. And no, people were really not wanting to come back to the theatre. And I thought, wow, is this going to be the death of live theatre? I did think that. I thought, what would we do without it? We'd be all stuck on our phones playing games, video games.
I mean, Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Instead of the theatre.
Solitaire. Although I'm a bit secretly.
But isn't it interesting, though, even like born maybe out of the pandemic or how society changes? I see now in the UK, the National Theatre, you can subscribe much like Netflix at home and pay kind of $9.99 a month to watch kind of productions from your living room, which suddenly kind of, you know, brings it into the kind of in front of the armchairs of the nation.
Yeah, it does. But I think that is that's a teaser. Because the real thing is so much better.
Yeah.
When you're sat in the dark with 2,000 people and you're watching live actors playing roles and acting with each other, the emotion is incredible. And every night is different. You will never see the same show twice, ever, in live theatre. And that's the beauty, because people say, oh, the night I was there, this happened. Oh, the night I was there, this happened. You know, and that's why you can go back.
Yeah.
It's never the same performance. That's why you can go 10, 20 times, because it's always going to be different. And especially with Wizard of Oz, because different actors are playing different roles all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so you can go and see like Aston Marigold, for instance, if you want to, you know, or Jason Manford, you know, so you've got a whole host of different shows who all bring completely different ideas to the table. So you're never going to get bored.
And being in a room, I guess, with, like, as you say, 2,000 people, it's like that kind of religious experience. You know, when we're gregarious, we like being around other people, and the emotions become a shared one, and then they kind of get amplified for it.
Yeah, and it means something different to every individual. Don't forget, you're sat there with 2,000 people, but by yourself.
Yeah.
You're in the dark. So you're not being judged. You're not being watched. You're just allowed to fly and go with the story wherever your mind specifically wants to go. Now, you can get a similar thing reading a book in that way, because everyone will paint the picture very differently in their own mind. You know, you'll get something, like you'll read the same book, like The Thornbirds, like if we both read that, we'd get very different things out of it. And we come away with very different developments in our, when you're playing the movie in your mind. But in the theatre, what you're seeing is what we're representing, but then it's up to you to decide how you want to take that, you know, or fly with it, or maybe learn something about yourself. You know, that's what Wizard of Oz is about. It's about learning something, morals. It's about judging yourself. Why do you run away from home, and how is that going to affect someone? You know, if you committed suicide, how is that going to affect the people that you leave behind you? You know, and that's what Dorothy learns in her journey. And that's, I mean, it's a serious piece. As much as it has green witches and munchkins, it has a real message, you know, and I think that's the important thing about it. And that's why it has longevity and it's still in the world today. I mean, it's still relevant. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the 28th of May, it is coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. Craig Revel Horwood will be playing the Wicked Witch of the West. Craig, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's been gorgeous. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.